It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have some open phone time coming up in the final segment of this morning's program.
You know what? I'm feeling kind of strangely good this morning.
Are you?
You know why?
I don't.
Winter storm Scott. I said yesterday was a little weeny storm. Not so much.
No, it packed a little bit of a wallop here today.
So for all the kids who are listening, I closed school for you today. Okay? You owe me. I'm feeling perversely like, yeah. Okay? I really need to get a life. I need to get a better diet. I think that's the problem right there.
That would probably help.
All right, now, let's give credit where credit's due, because we do that, all right? Our friends from Town & Gown Magazine, all right, their most recent, I guess, January issue, the cover story is about diet. And they nice featurey coverage. They do a really good job. And so I saw this recently, you know, I picked up a copy at a convenience store or someplace, and I thought, okay, and I just started thinking. And I thought, okay, number one, frankly, my diet could probably be better. And number two, again, I just thought, okay, if I take a look at the seasons of the year, just guessing, what is the season of the year around here where we maybe have our worst eating? And I thought, oh, it's probably winter. It's probably right now. I mean, I mentioned my wife and I, we have a backyard garden, and is there anything growing in it right now? Are you kidding? No. Snowmen, that's probably about it. So there's something, fresh foods and so on. And so I thought, let's have a guest about diet. So folks, we're trying to help you out today, because again, if you're like me, there is so much confusing stuff out there, drives me crazy. So we reached out to Dr. Barbara Rolls from Penn State, who has been doing this for a long time. And we're thankful that she has some time this morning to join us. First off, Dr. Rolls, thank you very much for being on our program today. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And give us a little bit of your background, and and then we'll get into the diet part. But give us a little bit of your background and how you got into the nutrition field.
Okay, well, as you said, I'm a professor in nutrition at Penn State. I came to Penn State over 30 years ago from actually psychiatry at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Before that, I was in England in a psychology department. I study eating behavior. So eating behavior is a combination of all of these different things. And so, it's a mix. It's a lot of fun to do this. You know, people are inherently interested in how people eat and what affects how much they eat, which is my interest. Obviously, I've written some diet books, the volumetrics books, and my goal is to help people enjoy eating a healthy diet that's going to help them to manage their weight.
And let's talk a little bit about, first of all, is Scott right? Is this generally the time of year, at least here in the Northeast and in Pennsylvania, where the diets get away from us a little bit?
Yeah, it's a funny time, isn't it? Because it's competing with the New Year's resolutions that everybody's making. But, you don't have to eat poorly at this time of year. Think about soups. Soup can be really important in managing your weight, and there's so many ways that you can make them healthy. And a basic tenet of healthy eating is more vegetables, fruits, whole grains, legumes, nuts, olive oil, all of these things that fit into a healthy diet. They fit with what the government recommends. They fit with the Mediterranean diet, with volumetrics. So, you said you have a backyard garden. Well, so do I, but I've got a freezer full of frozen veg and tomatoes and ratatouille that I pull out at this time of year. Frozen is great. It's a good comfort food time of year, I agree, but you can make those comfort foods healthier.
Now, folks, anybody who is an adult, oh, forget that, even kids, all right? There are so many diets out there. I mean, for instance, I've tried the bag diet. Anything that's in a bag, I eat, which, of course, I'm joking, okay? Don't do the bag diet, okay? Don't do that. Now, Dr. Rolls, you've had this for a very long time, volumetrics, which that's a fancy-sounding term, okay? Let's start, for folks who have never heard of that, have no idea what that is, just sort of go into the more in-depth. What exactly is volumetrics? Why should people maybe give that a try?
Okay, well, the research that I do at Penn State is based on what properties of foods affect how full you feel, how they control hunger, et cetera. And of course, one of the things you first think of is portion size. Big portions, we've shown, induce people to eat more. Bigger the portion, the more you eat. But big portions don't have to be bad. We can use portion size even to get people to eat more vegetables, believe it or not. And it boils down to, it's not just big portions, but it's the density of calories in those portions that affect how much you eat. So reducing the calorie density with fruits, vegetables that are mostly water, fiber, which is lower in calories than other carbohydrates, gives you bigger portions for the same number of calories, because you're having a big bulk of water. Water is giving you volume, big portions without calories. So that's been the big breakthrough in our field, people focusing on fat, carbohydrate, protein, overlooked the power of water to give us satisfying portions. Water is the biggest component of the main foods that we typically eat. So there we go. That's it. So don't just focus on eating less. Focus on eating more water-rich, whole grain, healthy foods, and moderate your portions of the calorie-dense foods, which are typically high in fat. They're the sugar, fat, salt kinds of foods that we know taste good and that pack a lot of calories into our mouth.
Yes. Let's talk about the... everybody everywhere tells us we need to drink more water anyway. Mm-hmm. Drinking a little water like before you start your meal, is that... Mm-hmm. Recommended? Does that help in terms of that, just the feeling anyway, that you are indeed full after whatever portion of whatever you're eating?
Okay, well, that's a good question, and it leads to one of my favorite studies that we've done. We've done several on drinking water before meal. If you drink water just as a beverage, it empties pretty quickly out of your stomach. And plus, your brain is perceiving it as a beverage, not as a food. Now, if you put the water into a food, so we did a study where we had a casserole, and we had people either just eat the casserole along with a 10-ounce glass of water, or we cooked the water into the casserole to make a soup. And they ate the casserole before they got their next course. It was their first course. So which of those do you think affected how much they ate next the most?
Now, see, instinctively, I would have said, but the way you're saying it, I'm guessing it's the putting the water into the casserole. Instinctively, I would have thought the opposite.
Nope. So when the water is bound into the food, it first of all, it's then perceived as part of the food, so you have a much bigger food portion, but it is going to go through your digestive tract much more slowly. So It works. It reduced actually the total amount of food you ate in the entire meal significantly. So having that first course that fills you up, we call it the filling up first technique, actually cut down on total meal intake. You got an extra course. Same thing works with a big salad if you don't have it laden with cheese and a heavy dressing. Or even slices of fruit can help you fill fill up first and end up eating less.
Now, see, I like my salad with a couple of scoops of ice cream on top. You're not recommending that, huh?
No, unless it's creamery ice cream. Well, Meyer Dairy, one of those two.
Yes.
Okay.
On salad. Oh my.
Anyway, right, I've got one. I've got one here, Doctor. I'm just curious. Now, again, volumetrics has been around for a long time, and mm-hmm. I'm no expert, but I just my eyes are open, and it seems like diet advice changes over time, all right? Either if it's one of those cooking shows on TV or the latest, I don't know, cookbook or diet book or something, things seem to kind of bend and change every few mm-hmm. years. Has volumetrics been the same since you first put it together, or have you had to kind of change or adjust it, you know, for different reasons over the years, or has it always been the same idea?
It's pretty much been the same idea. I mean, obviously, as new research comes along, gets updated, but it's based. I'm a nutrition professor, so it's based on the kind of advice that you would be getting anyway, as you say, from the government, and it's not a gimmick. What is new about it is really bringing in this research on hunger and satiety and showing how you can choose foods that help to manage your hunger. But it's really, you know, you think about the Mediterranean diet. Now, this is not that different from the Mediterranean diet. Because the healthy diets that are recommended. So if you looked at the U.S. News and World Report's diet rankings that came out a few weeks ago, the top ones were Weight Watchers, Mediterranean, and Volumetrics, and they're all pretty much plant-forward types of diets with the veggies, fruit, legumes, whole grains emphasized. They vary a little bit in dairy and wine recommendations, but they're basically similar to the U.S. My Plate recommendations, where you fill your plate, half your plate with fruits and vegetables.
Now, I'm curious your thoughts, because I'm seeing all of the time now, it feels like, I can't open up a magazine, I'm turning on the TV, and it's like, oh, people don't have time to eat those fruits and vegetables. Here's these fruit and veggie supplements. You get all of the nutrition of eating a daily balanced diet of fruits and vegetables just by taking this little supplement or this little gummy in the morning or in the evening or maybe both. Whatever it is, your thoughts, and what is the research showing in terms of the benefits, and are there any risks with doing those sorts of things?
Well, it's better to eat your fruits and vegetables. There are a lot of reasons. We don't really even begin to understand all the different phytonutrients, anti-inflammatories, et cetera, that are in fruits and vegetables. So a supplement isn't going to mimic that. And of course, if you're trying to control hunger, just having a little pill or chewy is not going to give you all that satisfaction of the chewing, even the visual appeal of the food, the swallowing, the stomach fullness. So, you know, you're really selling yourself short on what you should be eating. You know, I wish, part of what would be great is if it were made easier to eat the way we know we should, the way that the best diets are recommending. It's just that's not the reality in our current food environment. We're surrounded by the calorie-dense, high sugar, fat, and salt foods. They're everywhere you go now. And they're relatively inexpensive. So it would be great if we could make healthy eating more convenient and more affordable. So I agree with you on that. It's tough.
Yeah, it is. We need to get into a break here in just a little less than a minute, and then we'll continue the conversation on the other side. Have some other questions about trying for all of us, but also, you know, for kiddos who tend to I guess, lean toward the high-calorie, less nutritious meals, some things that can be done there. And we'll continue the conversation with Dr. Barbara Rawls. She's joining us from Penn State. We're talking diet this morning, volumetrics, and what is a good diet. And we're in the winter months. A lot of us tend to pack on a couple of more pounds over the winter months. What are some things that that we can do? Instinctively, I think we know what we should do. I guess maybe what are some ways we can trick ourselves into doing it.
What fun is that?
Exactly.
Come on, what fun is that, huh?
We will continue. It's more Let's Talk rolling your way on the other side of this break. It is a Tuesday morning.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead, exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Ironhead.
One of Penn State's legendary athletic figures has passed away. Tom Tate, considered the father of Penn State volleyball, died Wednesday at the age of 86. Tate was the first head coach of both the men's and women's volleyball teams at Penn State. He started the women's program in 1976 and led the transition of the men's program to varsity status in 1977. Tate led the men's program to six Final Four appearances, and he was a faculty member at Penn State from 1969 through 1996. The Penn State men's basketball team will host 11th-ranked Wisconsin tonight at 9 o'clock in the Jordan Center. Penn State has lost its last two games and is now 8-9 on the season, 2-4 in the Big Ten. The Badgers sit atop the Big Ten standings with a 13-3 overall mark and a 5-0 record in conference play. This will be the only meeting between the teams this season.
Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
State College is looking for book donations to help in the May 2024 book sale. You can drop off your book donations anytime to the outdoor bins at the workshop located at 2197 High Tech Road near the airport. Your donation will help the State College American Association of University Women advance equity for women and girls in our area.
We don't just talk sports.
The Fox.
We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Beer Belly's Beverage in downtown State College, located at 258 West Hamilton Avenue within the Hamilton Square Shopping Center. At Beer Belly's, they have over 500 beers, including domestics, imports, microbrews, seasonal selections, ciders, and more. Beer Belly's is open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 p.m. on Sunday. Check out our website at beerbellysbeverage.com. Beer Belly's Beverage, 258 West Hamilton Avenue in State College. Beer better, Beer Belly's.
Talk about great prices. Center Hall Farm Store has fantastic deals to help you save money all winter long on heating wood pellets.
Come here, Bear. Come on. Come on.
Oh, yeah. And for your ferocious little pomapoo, shepherd, horses, and just about every other farm animal, even your birds. Center Hall Farm Store has created its own perfect, unique mixture of feed, along with commercial feed of your choice. Center Hall Farm Store, 110 West Allison Street. Center Hall. CenterHallFarmStore.com.
Hi, this is Corey Comfort from Joel Comfort Toyota in State College. Are you looking for a dealership to call home? Joel Comfort Toyota is a locally owned family business that has been serving the community for over 45 years. Come see us and let us help you with your next vehicle experience. We're located at 120 East Clinton Avenue in State College, just behind the Waffle Shop on North Athens Street. Or visit us 24/7 at joelcomfort.com. And remember, good things happen in your community when you buy local.
The title and tag service that is customer-friendly and locally owned is at Joel Confer Quality Pre-Owned in Pleasant Gap. And as part of the Joel Confer family of dealerships, Monica Prisk is experienced and has been serving customers for 13 years. Cameron Confer is on the title and tag team and is there to help you with all of your title and tag needs. Stop at Joel Confer Quality Pre-Owned at 475 East College Avenue in Pleasant Gap and have Monica or Cameron answer any of your title and tag questions. Remember, good things happen in your community when you buy local.
Here's the K2 Roots Foxcast. A couple of inches of snow from Winter Storm Scott. Roads will become slippery. Wednesday, some sunshine and cold, the high near 20. Winter Storm Norm reaches us Thursday with several inches of snow possible Thursday into Friday. After a bitterly cold weekend, we're going to have a January thaw next week. This is WeatherBell.com Chief Meteorologist Joe Bastardi.
Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Get up and get
it's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday. Again, we'll have open phone time in the final segment of this morning's program. But we're talking diet here on a Tuesday morning. And I'm taking little notes. I definitely...
Oh, yeah.
I can work. I can work on improving mine.
Yeah, you're taking notes.
I am good. I will say, I am good on the eating the fruits and vegetables and nuts. I eat a lot of nuts. Where my issue comes in is then I don't stop at just eating the good stuff. I keep it going after that.
So, folks, he's nuts. Now we understand why. Okay, there we go. Then we got that.
Yeah.
Dr. Barbara Rolls from Penn State is our guest. For another segment. Again, better diet, winter time, what kind of eating are we doing? But doctor, I tell you what, can we rescue my friend the Ironhead here, okay? Certainly, somehow, there are redeeming qualities to ice cream. Okay, now our friends from the creamery, of course, get all the publicity, which is great. They're awesome. They're terrific. Certainly, help us out, Dr. Rolls, but be honest, okay? There must be redeeming qualities to ice cream. What would they be, please?
Oh, sure. Well, they have some protein, calcium, and they give you a lot of pleasure. So, we all have to learn to relax with food. And, you know, you don't want to live on ice cream, but saying I can never have ice cream again is going to make you want it all the more. You need to figure out how to fit it in and enjoy it. So there you go. You don't have to justify it in terms of the excellent nutritional value. So you wanted to know about kids. So we're doing a lot of studies now on preschool kids. We go into child care centers on campus and around town. And a lot of what we've tried to do is get kids to eat more vegetables. And the kids, they respond like adults. They overeat if portions are bigger. They respond to calorie density. So if foods are more calorie dense, they end up eating more calories. So what can you do? You can actually do quite a few things. If you offer the veggies when they're hungry, before a meal or for snacks, we've shown that increases their veggie intake. Increasing the proportion of veggies as side dishes also works. But the technique that's the most controversial, that works probably the best, is pureed vegetables or fruit added into recipes. And, you know, when we publish these studies, people are, what an outrage that we have to trick kids into eating more vegetables. Well, you're not tricking them. It actually tastes really good. Sometimes they prefer the veggie-enhanced baked goods because they're moister. So, you know, there are a lot of tricks that you can use to help people eat better. And the food industry could do this, too. It's just I think they're often afraid of losing business if they try to make foods healthier.
There, you happy?
Yeah, although that's a sad commentary. That hey, you tricked me into eating healthy? How dare you? I want my unhealthy stuff.
I have to tell you, it worked in adult men, too.
We did
the same thing.
Dr. Rolls, I've heard the Mediterranean diet over and over and over again. And to my recollection, I've never heard anything bad about the so-called Mediterranean diet. So first off, for folks who aren't familiar, what is that exactly? And it just, I don't know, we should all be eating the Mediterranean diet somehow. Maybe volumetrics kind of fits into that somehow. Tell us about the Mediterranean diet, pros, cons, anything you can share.
Okay, well, the Mediterranean diet, as you said, it's very similar to the volumetrics diet. A reason that it gets so much attention is because it's had a lot of research done on it. You know, they noticed that people that were living in southern Mediterranean climates were often healthier, and so there have been a number of long-term nutrition studies looking at what they're actually doing. So, you know, countries like Italy and Greece, their diets are rich in fruits, veggies, legumes, whole grains, nuts, seeds, lean proteins, healthy fats, So it's what we've been talking about. They emphasize olive oil. A glass of wine a day is fine. It's pretty much what the top-rated diets all incorporate now. So it's just, as I say, it has had a lot of research done on it that show that it is associated with better health in terms of cardiovascular disease, that sort of thing. Does it help with weight loss? Well, it can, but it's actually not designed for weight loss. You know, it's designed to be a healthy diet, which volumetrics can do too. Volumetrics doesn't have to be for weight loss. It can be just, you know, this healthy pattern of eating that we're all trying to encourage.
I wonder how much of this, and Ironhead, I think you might have touched on it or last segment, it convenience, just convenience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Mediterranean diet sounds great. Sounds like work. Volumetrics is great. Sounds like work. Again, the bag diet, and Mr. Ironhead, here's my bag.
Oh, boy.
See it right here? We're doing this on Zoom. I have an actual bag of food. Here it is. Here's another bag. You can kind of hear that, all right? So I'm terrible at this.
Well, get a bag of frozen vegetables or frozen fruit or whatever.
Is there any convenient diet that's good for you? Or maybe, of course, fast food, convenient? Got my food. Okay, mm-hmm. Off I go. Is there any convenient diet which is actually good?
Well, you can make any diet convenient if you just learn some tricks. And we tell you some of those in Volumetrics. But it's, you know, you can tweak even fast food and you can make choices that are better. So, you know, getting a grilled chicken breast rather than one that's being battered and fried is right away giving you a better choice. A lot of places now offer whole grain bread. You can substitute mustard for mayonnaise. You know, they just add more vegetables. There's a lot of stuff you can do that isn't that much more work, and you still get to eat your favorite foods. You just bulk them up a bit with the veggies and taking a bit of the unhealthy fat out, and then you get a bigger portion for your same calories. It doesn't have to be that hard. I just wish that the people who provide us with food would make it easier for us to eat this way.
Yes, I'm with you 100% on that. Mm-hmm. That seems like that would be a helpful, good step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I wanted to follow up on one other component of diet that I keep reading, and especially just in recent months, kind of conflicting, thoughts on, does it matter when we eat? Time of the day, how much we eat at various times. All of my life, I have heard that, yeah, you shouldn't be eating going to bed. And I just read something, and I don't even remember where it was, but I'm like, really? But the author's contention was, yeah, it doesn't really matter. If it's good calories, eating right before bed, that doesn't matter any more than if you ate just when you first got up or any other time of the day. Are there conflicting studies out there? What do the studies say about when we should eat? And does it matter whether we do the three square meals or we just snack throughout the day? There seems to be a lot of different thoughts on that, too, how and when we should be eating, mm-hmm. along with the types of calories, obviously, that we're consuming.
Yeah, you hit on the right word, conflicting, on the whether you should eat mostly in the morning or the evening. There are studies that show it doesn't matter, and then there's some that show that you really should be having dinner at breakfast, and that's going to help you. But I think, again, you need to have an eating pattern that fits with what your life is like. Who are you with? What are you doing? But in terms of frequency of eating, again, the research is mixed, and I think you have to tailor it to what you can do to help you eat the best you can. So some people are going to do better spacing it out. having more small meals. Other people aren't going to be able to have a small meal, so spacing it out so they have seven meals a day, they're going to overeat at each one. So I think this is the thing that gets overlooked a lot when we're talking about diets. Every person is going to need to figure out what works for them. You know, for, just to say, eat all your food early in the day, how can some people even begin to fit that into their lifestyle? So, you know, the personalization, I think, is going to get better and better with all the technology we have, where, you know, you can, for each person, figure out a pattern and food choices that they're going to enjoy, and then a pattern that works for them. Because the goal really is not just to diet, but to eat healthy in a way that you enjoy, so you can sustain it. And that's really my goal, because dieting is, it's got a bad vibe right now in terms of people not really wanting to think about a diet that is restrictive.
And part of this is just a health standpoint, because our metabolisms can be very different. And I know, I mean, some people will use, well, yeah, I'm gaining weight, it's just my metabolism. What are you going to do? Has nothing to do with the gallon of ice cream I'm eating every night, just my metabolism. But there is, in actuality, right? I mean, there's variance in our metabolism, but we all still need nutrients. We need, right, the bad calories aren't going to be good for us, whether it necessarily adds as much weight as it does for this person or that person. Mm-hmm. Like the healthy diet, consuming healthy foods, is going to be beneficial for everyone, just as consuming like nothing but ice cream, that's not going to work out so well for you, regardless of the, you know, immediate effects on your weight.
That's right. I mean, healthy eating is key for all of us, whether you are maintaining weight, you're trying to lose weight, you're trying to gain weight, whatever. You need to be eating this healthy pattern, which we've described as the Mediterranean or the volumetrics kind of way, where you emphasize the fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, that sort of thing. You need to really figure out, as I keep emphasizing, how to enjoy it. Because if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to keep doing it. You're going to lapse. We have in our field, and this is being defined in the literature, the what the hell effect, where you try too hard. You're restrictive. You're trying to avoid your favorite foods, and then you just get to the point where you completely lose it. And you eat everything in sight. So that's...
All right, Doctor, we only have a couple of minutes left here. I want to get this one in before we're done, though.
And I could feel you looking directly at me when you were saying that, Doctor.
No,
I,
no. Doctor, these new... And they're not really diet drugs. I think they were originally for diabetes... But people started taking them, and they started losing weight and just crowing about it. And then you take drugs and you lose weight, and you take drugs and you lose weight. Wegovy and I don't know what the name, fancy names. What do you think about these? Yeah. Whenever I hear drugs, I'm immediately skeptical. Like, okay, that doesn't sound good. What do you think about these drugs? I mean, are they any good, really?
Sure. I mean, they work, and they're based on our hormonal response to food that increases satiety and helps control hunger. So, yeah, and they're working. You have to do it forever. I mean, if you stop, the weight comes back. And, of course, my concern is you need to eat healthy even while you're doing that. And, you know, when you're restricting calories, it's more important than ever to get a good balance of nutrients because you're at more risk of deficiencies. So, I mean, these medications work, but I don't want us to lose sight of healthy eating. But it is an interesting time in our field because they really are a game changer right now. But expensive, and as I say, it's a long-term prospect for people who want to go that direction. I do want to say before we end that if people out there are interested in volumetrics, Penn State Extension offers online programs periodically called the Volumetrics Way of Life. And so you know, obviously it's for the general public, affordable, et cetera, and Extension is doing a good job with this, so a good resource for us.
And that's available online?
Yeah, if they look up Penn State Extension, and they run, I think it's a six-week course, and they run it periodically, and you know, it's going to give people the principles that we've been talking about, and with support.
Fantastic. I appreciate the time this morning, all of the information, and I'll try to do better. Professor Dr. Barbara Rawls, we sincerely thank you for your time this morning. That was terrific.
Okay. All right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And it's stuff that I think most of us instinctively know. We're coming right back. Yeah.